I'm going to call the, Thursday, April 23rd, Plan Commission to order. Mr. Fuchs, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
I'm here.
Commissioner Hogan?
She's excused.
Commissioner Thinnes?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Commissioner Morrow?
Here.
Alderwoman Mayor?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just a reminder, please turn your cell phones off, stun or vibrate, whatever. Okay, so we have a quorum, properly called to order, properly noticed and all of that. We'll move to item B1, approval of the regular meeting of March 19th.
So move.
Commissioner Haley. Let's get a second first. Or is there a second?
I'll second.
Commissioner Haley's got a change.
I was not at the meeting, and the record is showing that I was absent. I ran into a work issue, was unable to make it. I did place a call with planning office, left a message that I was unavailable. It's not a big deal, but I'm showing this absent.
As far as I'm concerned, the record is excused. Whatever you like. So I don't know why you would have been called absent. So we'll mark that as excused. With that change, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. There are no public hearings this evening, so we'll move to item D1, Oscar's Frozen Custard signage. Unified Development Ordinance for 15-3.0415, Plan Development District Number 10. It's a sign application by James and Suzanne Taylor to remove the monument sign height limit in the district and as well provide for a wall sign on the south side of the property located at 7401 South 27th Street. Mr. Deal.
Thank you. The applicant is requesting a change, as the mayor noted, to the sign conditions inside the PDD for the Riverview Shopping Center. They are asking for one of the elements pertaining to the sign, actually the size height limit, to be entirely removed, and the amount of signage, the wall signs on the south side of the building, to be revised. It can be noted that the sign requirements, the sign height limits and size limits in the PDD are stricter than those in the municipal codes sign ordinance or sign code, and the applicant is asking to remove those more restrictive elements from the PDD so they could go back to the city's normal sign regulations. But in addition, they want to be a higher and larger amount of signs than even that requires, so they would have to go for a variance on the height and also to do an amendment or a revision of those code requirements on the total amount of signage, and that is something that's being considered by the Director of Administration and Fred Baumgart, the building inspector. They're looking at making those kinds of changes. Nothing's been submitted to the council yet, so those are two steps that would still have to be done by the applicant if the Plan Commission and ultimately the council agree to take these more strict requirements out of the PDD. Staff has no opposition to those changes. We do have a couple of suggestions. One of the suggestions is, in total, if they get their variances, it would be a significant amount of signage on this property. Staff is only suggesting that if the Plan Commission felt that way as well, instead of removing, in addition to removing the restriction for signage on the south side of the building, which they can't do right now, to change that to the north side of the building. The applicant has indicated that as a last resort, they might be open to that. They would not prefer that, but as a last resort, they might be open to it. I would like to point out that the applicant did send us some additional information today. Similar signs have been proposed for their other restaurants in West Dallas and the town of Brookfield. Those signs also did require variances, and they did receive those variances from those communities for a similar sign. Otherwise, staff is recommending approval.
There was another recommendation in your write-up regarding temporary banners.
Yes.
And it would be my request that the Plan Commission consider that, but with a time limit. It seems like our temporary signs all of a sudden become permanent. Not to say that the tailors will behave in that manner, but it's better to be safe than sorry, Mr. Deal.
And right now, that's only a suggestion. So if the Plan Commission liked that idea, they would have to make that as part of the motion or add that as a condition.
Questions from the commission? Commissioner Thinnes.
Joel, is there any background information as to why the PDD had stricter requirements than a city sign ordinance does?
No, staff took a quick review, not real thorough, but they did take a quick review through the historic files. They couldn't find anything. Even that restriction on the south side of the building wasn't consistently applied to all the buildings in this development. So our guess, and it's only a guess, was they were looking for slightly higher standards in this development and raised the restrictions on signage a little bit, meaning shorter signs, less signage. But we couldn't find any confirmation of that, but that's our guess.
So you say you don't have any other information about the south side only restriction either?
Correct.
Why that would be applied in that district. And the heights, I know, you know, at the time I was, I believe on the architectural review board at the time that they were considering those sign ordinances, and part of the problem was the battle of height. Everybody wants to be higher than the next guy, and up and up and up we went. We wanted to develop a monumental sign ordinance because of the compactness and neatness of those signs. Are you saying that they need, you know, smaller is better as far as I'm concerned, but as far as needing a variance, they would need a variance to even do the sign they want to do because it exceeds the city's code. Does that mean that, of course, our approval tonight of a sign would be contingent upon a variance being issued as they have it submitted?
Mr. Deedle?
Not really. The normal process, of course, is when we approve projects, signage is always separately approved by the Building Inspection Department and the Architectural Review Board. That would still be the process here. But because of the PDD wording right now, they would have to get both approvals. They have to get consistency with the PDD and still go to the Architectural Review Board. Making this PDD amendment removes those sign requirements from the PDD, only leaves the requirement to go to the Architectural Review Board. So we would not have to make that as a condition. City ordinances require them to go to the Architectural Review Board, and they would have to go. So we wouldn't have to add that as a condition.
And a form of a variance would be approval of the Architectural Review Board, not a variance from the Zoning Board.
Yes, it would be an architectural review board, I believe, architectural review board variance.
That would be the variance, not the zoning board. Okay. Thank you.
For the people in the audience, this is the former Omega. That's the building we're talking about. Here's 27th Street. Here's Ross. Just so you know. Commissioner Fowler.
Yeah, Mayor, could you point out where the sign location is? I think it's in that northeast corner. But the monument sign?
I believe it's there.
Right, in that location. It appears there's not going to interfere with the property to the south. There's a two-lane road to the north. This does not appear to be interfering with anybody else's sign advertising, so I don't see an issue here at all.
Yeah. The location, there was a comment from the police department or the fire department. Just raising a concern that when that sign was placed, somebody should make sure that it's not going to obstruct vision to the corner, but they didn't ask for any changes to be made. They just wanted to point that out.
Well, so it is slightly south of that two-lane road to avoid the turn radius.
Right.
So I think it already does that, so I don't see an issue.
Yeah. So other than that, no other department had a comment or concern.
Two motions are required on this particular item. One is the motion determining the proposed amendment to be a minor amendment. Is there such a motion?
So move.
Second.
Discussion? Commissioner Haley.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, I'm a little bit troubled by this. I understand the desire for better signage advertising. It's very important in this day and age. Maybe I've been around for a while and can remember, but the discussion that we used to have was that there was merit in setting standards in the better interest of the street and the streetscape, what the shared vision for what the 27th Street corridor is supposed to be. And to that end, it was deemed appropriate to put limitations on that. Now, I can certainly understand on a case-by-case basis of making an argument, but we're about to drop all of those restrictions and, in essence, place no restriction as to size, subject only to architectural review. Thinking that that's kind of a dangerous path to go down. Now, if we don't care and we're ready to begin the signage wars and look at them getting bigger and bigger because somebody else got it and then the next one comes in and I need the same thing. We established standards because they were deemed prudent at the time, and absent a compelling reason to modify those, I'm sort of missing why we would go there. If there's a hardship, a particular need, a visual obstruction, we could look at that on an individual basis, but I do think it's a slippery slope to go down and just start releasing standards that were put in place for a reason, even though maybe not everybody here understands why. My thoughts.
Any other discussion? Seeing none on the motion.
I have a question.
I'm sorry, I didn't see you. Alderwoman Mayor.
Do we have, Joel, any, I guess, ideas on signage and that kind of thing regarding the uniqueness and that kind of thing? I mean, this is kind of an icon for them.
We don't. Some ordinances do. West Dallas might even be one of them. So it's still relatively rare to have allowance for larger signs or taller signs based on uniqueness, but a few communities have done that, and West Dallas is one, but we don't. Right now, the city has historically a couple times in the past started to look into comprehensive revisions of our sign regulations, and topics like that have come up, but you know, progress wasn't made on, you know, making those changes. There was a lot of interest in different parties, businesses, property owners, staff, and officials, still in the stage of trying to reach a consensus on some of these decisions. So a final draft was never submitted. There were just discussions at the council in previous years. But topics like that had come up, but no decision had ever been made.
Okay. The Alderwoman, that project is being managed by the Director of Administration. As I recall, it's on page 3 of the priority list. So it's being worked on, and it's a priority for me. We have the same concern that we won't talk about tonight, but I would. Mr. Dietl, a question for you. This relates to 15-30415, which relates specifically to this PDD number 10. Is that correct?
Correct.
So we're not changing the sign ordinance for the entire district. I'm sorry, for the entire street or the city, just for the PDD.
Correct.
Which is where?
Well, it's, I don't think it's got, Joel, you got it.
So it includes GFS Marketplace right on the corner of Riverwood, 27th Street, includes Gander Mountain, includes Goodwill, and then to the south, I believe that's Lowe's. To the east, then again, it would be the multi-tenant buildings right south of Riverwood, and then the former Omega and the proposed or the approved Oscars.
So it's this area here.
Yep.
Does not include this corner, which is now owned by the state, I believe.
I believe it's not included.
Nor this Ross This is a multi-tenant. Correct. Or the tire store. I'm sorry, that's not the tire store. That's the house. Or the tire store.
Correct.
Alderwoman Mayor, you still have the floor.
The land to the south on Rawson Avenue, that's empty. That's not going to be developed. That's for the roadway?
Part of it is, it's right. It's owned by the DOT. There's a couple billboards on part of it. There's a...
sewer lift station.
Lift station and some other mechanical equipment. There's also, when it used to be a gas station, they have remediation and they have some equipment for that as well.
How will, and maybe this is for the engineer, how will 27th Street and Rawson kind of come together once 27th Street is?
As I recall, two rights. Don't make a wrong. But this would be two rights, as I recall. This will be two rights. This will be a three-lane left, I believe. This will be a two- or three-lane left. And this will be two lanes to the left.
So how much of that property is cut out?
If I told you something, it would be a lie.
Well, just roughly. You don't have to.
Well, it'll probably come here. Right, Kevin? You guess about here.
A good chunk.
Yeah. More than it's there now.
Okay.
All right. Motion on the floor to declare this a minor.
I have one last.
I'm sorry.
That's right,
Commissioner Fowler. You
just real quick, Joel, in light of what Kevin says, I do share his concerns, but we don't have a way currently to allow an exception for just this lot. We'd have to do the whole PPD. We don't have a way to do that.
You could specify buildings. They did that previously for that south side of the building.
So we could specify the monument sign for this property.
Yep. I would suggest or recommend that we add some reasons why we're only doing it for this one, but with some valid reasons.
Because we don't want to see a sign war on the rest of the PPD. We want to encourage smaller signs, but we see this as an iconic sign. We would like to have them have the ability to do it, and we don't want to be obstructionist. But I agree with Commissioner Haley that if then suddenly that allows all the tenants in that multiple office building, if they all decide to put up big signs, you're going to have issues. So if I think I have to, we still have to approve the motion that we have on the floor as is, but we can do this in the second motion?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And one point, just to remind everyone, there is still the base sign limits that the sign code in the municipal ordinance has. That would still apply here. Only anything that we do that's more restrictive is important here. The sign code would still apply otherwise. And then for what they would like to do, they would need a variance from that and a revision of that. So just to make sure that by changing the PDD, we're not coming into a situation where there are no limits. There are still limits, those limits that are set forth in the sign code in the municipal ordinance.
I think I have.
Okay.
Commissioner Haley.
Then my follow-up question. So you're telling me that there's no way to do an individual review and just grant a variance to this facility for the signs that are being proposed, that the only way that we can tackle this is to do a PDD-wide?
Yeah, but I believe we could do a PDD for just this one portion of the PDD, a PDD amendment for this portion of the
right.
PDD.
Well, again, that's my concern. I don't have objections to their sign, and it should be evaluated on its own merits, which I think that we can do, but it seems to me that we're throwing a blanket on it instead of just looking at the sign, and it's going to create problems down the line. I'd love to find a way that this could be evaluated on its own merits without changing the standards, if you will.
Commissioner Stoller's idea would be a possibility.
Okay, so my suggestion is we vote on this. While we vote on this, Mr. Deedle and the city attorney think of the solution to this particular problem, but Commissioner Thinnes had a question.
On the second motion that is involved here, which is the actual approving of the signs themselves, correct?
Or removing those conditions pertaining to the signs.
I believe I read in here that we also have some individual building issues in that motion regarding the south-facing signs on several of the individual properties themselves. So that issue is not just in this sign. It's with a number of the buildings that we need to change and correct in the PDD. So we're going to handle other buildings individually when we do this also.
If you wish to, yes.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so on the motion to determine a minor amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, the second motion will need some work. The Mr. City Attorney.
Just a thought. And, the staff recommended draft in the packet before the Plan Commission. It's a deletion of all the more restrictive standards in the PDD. And if the Plan Commission is interested in separating out just one property in the PDD and then leaving the rest being subject to the more restrictive, in the perfect world, I would suggest that the PDD amendment specify factors to be considered by the Plan Commission and then provide for an application process for, I wouldn't call it a variance, but permission to deviate from strict requirements, and then they can appear before the Plan Commission, and then they're all treated according to the same factors, as opposed to Oscar's is an iconic sign. It's on this particular property, and then the next applicant that comes in says, well, my sign is iconic also, and I'm on 20. So I don't have any idea what the timing might be. Everything's yesterday. But that, in a perfect world, would be the way to do it. And then you would, in effect, have this deviation from the strict standards, permission authority, but there would be factors, reasonable decision-making guidelines, if you will, for the Plan Commission. That would have to come back at the next meeting.
Yeah. Are the Taylors here?
Yes, we are.
Come on up and join us at the table, please. And then give us your name and address for the record. And welcome, by the way.
Thank you.
Look forward to... No, I better not say it. I look forward to custard. You're business owners in the city. Jim and Suzanne Taylor and your
husband. The whole thing.
No fighting.
7041 South 27th Street, Franklin, former Omega Frozen Custom.
Susie Taylor.
It may not be on.
Switch on the bottom.
There you go. Okay. Susie Taylor, 7041 South 27.
Michael DeLugi, I represent Sign Effects, which is the sign manufacturer for this particular sign. I also am president of Franklin, 7353 South 48, here in Franklin.
Thank you. Mr. Deedle, can we fashion them? With all due respect to the city attorney, and I absolutely want to do what he has to say, but I also want to move this project along. Is it possible we fashion a motion just singling out this either tax key or address, and then come back at the next meeting with, or some subsequent meeting with a PDD-wide criteria, as the city attorney suggests?
Or we could craft some factors right now.
I'm good with that. Do you have a suggestion?
Who's right? One, Nick Will. One, that the sign is unique or distinctive and establishes a special character that enhances this planned development district. Two, that the sign does not create any safety, visual clutter, or setback, negative impacts or concerns. And three, that the, well, the last one, probably saying this one out of order, that the Plan Commission reviews each individual request for such an exemption or exception individually based on its merits.
Is that it?
Toying with the idea of, do we want to add something in there about enhancing landscaping, enhancing the base of the sign to make it even more attractive? That one I'm struggling with in my head. The Plan Commission felt comfortable, then add that one as well.
Well, it's hard to have a brick base around an ice cream cone. Commissioner Fowler.
I would also add that it does not impede or it does not interfere with traffic visibility. And the one other factor I would add is that it does not interfere with visual, the viewscape for signs of neighboring properties that front 27th Street.
Okay.
Commissioner Thinnes.
Along with your first criteria about regarding uniqueness and artistic value, I would add to that that it represents a corporate image that's established. They have, I believe, several signs going up that are identical to this at other locations. So this particular sign is not a unique sign to this property. It's a corporate identity, or it's going to become a corporate identity. And I've run into those problems before on architectural board where some of the strip malls and that in the city require certain color lighting, certain sign styles and that, and companies that come in that have corporate logos or corporate identity items get excluded from putting up their sign with their corporate identity, and that's a disturbing thing for them because that's their identity. So that might be a good thing that in the uniqueness aspect of it to have incorporated also.
That is incorporated in some sign codes. Sometimes that gives me some heartburn, but it is not uncommon to have that in sign ordinances. And I think maybe even our master sign program has a reference to that.
And let's all remember this is just for the PDD. This is essentially Riverwood south to Ross. You want to? Now we need to deal with as well the Gander Mountain and GFS. I'm sorry, Goodwill and GFS issue, whereby they do have signage that is not in compliance.
Correct. And we'd like to, so the applicant's not requesting this. Staff just caught it and thought this would be a good opportunity to fix those at the same time.
And the restriction is that there'd be no southerly facing signage.
Right, so we'd be removing that restriction.
And that would then permit the tailors to put south facing signage on theirs. So the base motion plus the conditions outlined by the city planner would be a motion to recommend approval of the ordinance to amend 15-3.0415 of the Unified Development Ordinance Plan, PDD District Number 10, which we know as Riverwood Village, Paul Braxis, to repeal the monument sign height limit and include the three conditions as outlined, I'm sorry, five conditions as outlined by Mr. Deedle as well as Commissioner Fowler, and to permit the south elevation signage for Oscar's Frozen Custard, Goodwill Stores, and GFS Food Service. Mr. Deedle.
And Commissioner Thinnes's suggestion about corporate logos and signage?
And, yeah, so that would be the six conditions.
Okay.
The city attorney has eight. We'll go with the city attorneys.
Would suggest that the factors for consideration, as were read into the record by staff and plan commissioners, and with regard to the ordinance, it would not be to repeal the monument sign height limit, but to amend the monument sign height limit to provide for factors to be considered and exemptions therefrom to be applied for before the Plan Commission, and specifically in this case that the subject property be granted that exception, And then with regard to Section 2 of the draft ordinance, which provides for the insertion of Oscar's Frozen Custard as able to utilize south building elevation signage, that in addition there to Goodwill and GFS Marketplace be added to that section, and Andy's Char House deleted.
Is there a motion to that effect? No. Commissioner Tennis.
I just wanted to clarify, that isn't removing the restrictions on all of the south-facing buildings, just those ones that are specifically mentioned.
Is there a motion?
So move.
Second.
You got to get going, Kevin. All right. Any discussion of the motion as outlined by everybody? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. So when's the opening?
We are hoping for June 2nd. And CCNA has been in West Dallas 31 years, Brookfield for 23 years, Taylor's in downtown Milwaukee Bar for 20 years, so they've spent 30, 40 years in Franklin with our kids.
Great.
Welcome.
It's more
than kids. Welcome. Welcome. We'll see you June 2nd.
Thank you very much.
We really appreciate it.
Move to item D2, Victory of the Lamb site plan amendment. I know the applicant's here, and I'll ask Mr. Deedle for an introduction.
As the Plan Commission may recall, the site plan was previously approved with a number of conditions. After that point in time, it was decided that Kayla's playground would not be built at the site. That site plan that was previously approved incorporated the playground. Since that playground's not going in at the site anymore, plus they found that the soils where the building was proposed are in particularly poor soils. They wanted to move the building approximately 70 or 80 feet northwest. That also moves the parking lot into the place that used to be the playground. So those changes would warrant a site plan amendment. They've provided the revised plans as well. The resolution is just carrying forward all the conditions from the initial site plan. Many of those conditions still must be addressed, with the exception that whatever pertained to the playground itself, those aspects and conditions would be removed. Can note that they are not making any architectural changes. They're making changes to the location of the building, location of the configuration of the parking lot, making changes to the size and some location, minor location changes for the stormwater management ponds. Engineering has a number of minor technical corrections they would like the applicant to take. And as I previously mentioned, all outstanding conditions from the original approval would still be carried forward through this amendment as well.
We don't have enough table space. That's why Commissioner Haley's looking backwards at drawings around the floor.
Very large sets.
Questions from the commission? Commissioner Fowler.
I have a question, because I'm going to be commenting on land to the south of this property that's owned by the Milwaukee Sewage District, and as an employee of the Milwaukee Sewage District, do I need to recuse myself from the discussion if I wanted to comment?
Mr. City Attorney.
Any decision-making process that you would be part of?
For this property, no.
General rule with regard to governmental positions, unless they're incompatible. In other words, you can't supervise, you as an officer cannot supervise yourself as while holding a
My
different
wife agrees
office.
With that.
I don't believe that's a conflict unless you have an actual bias. Then that's personal and you would.
Okay.
Thank you.
Questions from the commission? Commissioner Haley. You had that look on your face.
Yes, and not so much a question, but a comment. I think the site plan's actually pretty good, given what they're working with here and the changes that need to be made. I've got serious issues with the south property line. The grading plan, the natural resource protection plan, as it's called, but really isn't. The notes on the grading plan, basically what's happening here is these plans are calling for the grades to be significantly modified right up to the property line. There's about 30 heritage oaks, a bunch of shagbark hickories growing jointly on that property line on various sides of them. There's a note on the grading plan that those grading activities will have minimal impact on them, first generation. I would wager to say from my professional experience those trees will die within 5 years, every last one of them. Potentially setting somebody up for some lawsuits about whose they are. Some of them are located wholly on one property or the other. They will all go. It's further exacerbated on the grading plan. There's a notation on there that there's a high knoll, if you will, and the intent is to strip the topsoil from there and use the fill from that, cut that down, and use it for fill elsewhere on site. That poses an even greater threat to those trees. One, first, the site plan shows the topsoil being stripped from the site, placed in a location which is in that same area. Then there's a note that says, now come in here, knock the top off it, and steal that dirt around. So that means the topsoil will then have to be moved. We do this. The trees won't survive that. This is not about... All of the grading they're proposing could be done with never touching a tree. You will kill them because of damage to the roots. Oaks in particular are extremely sensitive to grade changes, to physical disturbance, and I, in 35 years of being in the business, don't know how you could do the grading that's shown on these plans without significant impacts to the health or well-being of these trees. They probably will go. It'll take about 3 years before you start to see the decline. They'll be fully gone in 5 to 10. I don't think that's the intent. It's unfortunate because the only reason that that's really happening, well, it happens along the whole south line. The limits of the detention basin have been pushed so close that you physically it will be nearly impossible to establish silt fence, get in there, do the grading that needs to be done, keeping the silt fence intact, making the contours all work. We're pushing too much on this south property line. In particular, the trees, but there's a lot of other challenges that are being brought on. And I don't think it has to be that way. What drives it is the desire to put additional parking. I'm sorry, I've got the wrong map here. The area was freed up where it had been proposed to put the playground. And it would be a very simple exercise to modify, I'm sorry, but in this area, pull that parking away from there. My understanding is there's to be a second or third phase out here ultimately. There'll be more parking constructed. We just need to pull the parking lot away from that south line, and many of these threats can be avoided. But as it's shown right now, it's a formula for destruction of a lot of significant trees, which our Unified Development Ordinance protects. This isn't indicated on the quote, natural resource preservation plan. There's really nothing on there except a somewhat reassuring note that everything will be just fine. That's not the intent or the letter of the law. The tree may be across the property boundaries, and I understand we can only really look at that, but the grading that is happening is not essential to the development, and it's going to cause serious problems. And for that reason, I just can't support it in its current form. The location for the church is better, the parking lot, just about everything is. We're just squeezing too much into that south property line, and I'd like to see that amended. And then I did have one question, confused about it, but extension of the water main, whether it goes all the way to the southern end of the property or just partially through, we'll be talking about that, I assume. But as long as I've been around, and I know a long time before it, our policy, I don't know that it's in fact codified, but development always moves sewer and water to the far property line. I believe there was notations in there to the effect that can be done in the future if need be. Well, that's foolish. The economy of scale is there right now. We don't know where the next developer, if there will be any. I mean, given a compelling reason, I don't see, other than just plain saving money at this point, only to spend twice as much later, I don't see a compelling reason why they shouldn't be extending that all the way to the boundary, as has been our practice. Now, if those reasons exist, I'd love to hear them. I know it's a challenging site, but those are my observations.
Mr. Teal, and then Mr. Moore, City Engineer.
Yeah, in regards to the trees, staff had identified the trees that met our protection standards as part of the more detailed planning that we were doing for the playground. At that point in time, that previous site plan plus the playground was getting very close to that 30% limit that they could remove, because there's portions of the tree line on all sides of the property are meet our protection standards, and they were getting awfully close to that 30% limit. We pointed out some of these concerns in the staff report, and we're also continuing to keep that one condition where the Natural Resource Protection Plan had to they had to continue to work with me to satisfy me that all the information was correctly shown and the protection correctly shown. So they now have that information for the trees that they would have to add to the Natural Resource Protection Plan, and they would have to verify that these further changes don't disturb any more than 30%. And our normal operating procedure is at least the drip line. So that if they're doing anything within the drip line, we'd say they're removing that resource. And then if that exceeds 30%, they'd have to do a natural resource special exception.
The natural resource sections of our UDO speak about making an attempt to preserve and protect all significant trees and vegetation. Yes, there is a standard in there that says you can impact up to 30% of them, but that's not optimal. That's not the goal. That's the limit. What my argument is that there will be impacts off-site, which technically you don't count when you look at the trees. They're on the other side of the line. You have to base your evaluation based upon what's actually on the site. Because of the stripping of the stealing the fill from the one area, that's going to result in a 3-foot cut to several of those trees. They will not survive that. So we can sit and talk, and I, with all due respect to you, you'll be watching. There'll be standards there. I have yet to see a construction site where you could do grading right up to the property limit adjacent to significant trees like this and not have enormous impacts. It will happen. There's no way to reverse it once it happens. We all look at the big oak over by Menards and feel sorry for it. We watch the one slowly die over at St. Martin's. This is what happens to them, and it can be avoided. So I personally don't want to listen to, you know, the standards of how far we can go and how much we can let them kill. The fact is these are significant trees. They've been there a long time, and they don't need to be abused this way. Not to talk of them as animals, as people, but there's an easy enough way to avoid it, and it could have been done with just reconfiguring the parking lot, which is going to be revisited anyways in the future. I have a hard time allowing this sort of thing to happen just for parking when there are options.
Folks, there's some conversations going on in the audience that, frankly, we can hear. It's a little disturbing, so please, if you could avoid that. Appreciate it. Mr. Deedle, you have a...
I can understand where Commissioner Haley's coming from. They are, with those conditions or with that caveat that I mentioned before, they would be meeting the letter of the law in regards to the protection of the resources. If the Plan Commission wishes them to protect more than the 70%, that's within their ability as well. I would point out, however, that any significant change would raise the question that the previously approved site plan, to the best of our ability, impacted close to 30%. And that was previously approved by the Plan Commission. So individual, small changes, not a problem. A significant change would be a significant departure from that previous approval.
Commissioner Fowler.
I am going to make a statement that I do work for the Sewage District, but I'm not speaking for the Sewage District when I make my comments. The property to the south of the church belongs to the Sewage District through a stewardship grant that was used. Public funds were used to purchase that as to conserve the land and the vegetation on it in perpetuity. I share Commissioner Haley's concerns about the impact of some of the vegetation along that border that's just being highlighted by the laser pointer. I have over 25 years in construction experience, and I run afoul of Kevin Haley before when we killed some trees on county parkland by not listening to him, and it cost us a pretty penny. You do need to protect those mature trees, as he states. by not allowing inside the drip line any grading, heavy equipment, or anything can drive over this. What we have done in the past, and I would suggest that you consider this as well, is you put up an orange construction fence around that drip line so that you don't have any equipment, asphalt, scraping, any digging that goes on there. That will help protect them. And I know the standard says you can do damage to 30% of the trees, but as a good neighbor policy, the neighbors to the south, I would suggest that you reconsider and think about that as a good neighbor. Do you want to have people or trees that are that were purchased with public funds for preservation in perpetuity to be damaged or actually die as a result of activities that might have been prevented? So that's only my concern. I do support some of his other issues about erosion control and site control that you're going to have to do if you grade right up to the property boundary. That makes that very difficult for the movement of heavy equipment strictly on your property. So those are my comments. Thank you.
And for the record, and then we'll get to Mr. City Engineer, the property to the south will become city property here pretty shortly. Mr. City Engineer.
As Mr. Deal mentioned, my department did have some comments. They're all fairly minor. The one that I think is the largest one discusses the issue about the water main extension. One of the comments we made was that we were giving them the option of either extending it all the way to the property line or has been discussed at one time of maybe splitting that off and donating to someone, potentially the city, and we would potentially connected with the property to the south. So this iteration doesn't show either of those options, but we haven't seen a revised site plan since April 17th. So.
Seems like we've got some relatively major issues that can't be addressed in the wording. Or do you disagree, Mr.
There are representatives here that we could bring up to see if they were willing to make any further site changes.
Pastor, you have some... I don't want to put you on the spot, but... Bring your team.
Should we sit up here?
Absolutely. Okay.
I'm Ben Kurth. I live at 7707.
Oh. Somebody turned it off.
Back to second.
There we go. I'm Ben Kurth. I live at 7707 West Plainsview Drive here in Franklin.
Kevin Rogers. I live at 1629 North 50th Place in Milwaukee.
I guess my first comment would just be that we're here today in April, having already had a unanimously approved site plan in December, simply because we were waiting for the go-ahead with Kayla's Playground. And for a couple months, we were simply saying, we're ready to go. We have all of our plans approved. And we were just told from the city we're working on it. And then, you know, the playground moved to a different site. And so, you know, our plans now is for us to keep our timeline. We have volunteers coming from an organization, the Builders for Christ, that's been approved. They're going to be on site the end of May. We have all that lined up, ready to go. That's a huge part of our project because they're saving us a significant amount of money, and it's going to be a big thing in the community, bringing people together. Any delays and revisions, it's just we're at the point where it really puts our whole timeline to build this year in jeopardy. I hear these concerns. I think they're valid ones. I just kind of reflect back and wonder why, if those were really those major concerns, I think we could have incorporated that. But if it delays our ability to start working on the site, I don't know. Maybe Kevin, you can talk more into that. We're at the point where it's make it or break it to get it done, and we are full speed ahead to get it done. It was mentioned that this current iteration of our site plan does impact the trees less than the previously approved one. Okay.
We are more than willing to work with staff and minimize impact on the borderline trees. And as far as the water main extension, I don't know if the church has considered CSMing that southern portion and to the city, in the water main at the drive line as indicated on the civil plans. Again, we can provide further documentation to that regard as early as Monday to revise any revision, make any revisions that will be required.
For the commission, if you turned in your packet to the packet that has the ordinance as the first page, if you go to the sheet 2A, C2A, I think that illustrates what the pastor and Mr. Rogers indicate. And I, too, share Mr. Haley's concern, but I also think that we have to be consistent in our application of our ordinances, and we gave them permission and approval to go right to the property line before, or darn close to it.
Yeah, subject to that 30%.
I'd certainly like to find some middle ground where the applicant can move forward. As I've mentioned many, many, many times, there's only good that comes from a church in our community. We need to find a way to make this work. I'd prefer to find a way to make it work tonight if we can. So I look to staff for their recommendation relative to these issues. Mr. City Engineer.
I think if I understood the applicant right, that you can redesign it so that you can stay on the drip line of the trees.
That would be good to take that and take a look at that, yes.
So potentially we could, if that's the only issue, we could approve a contingent on that. Staff can review that.
Commissioner Finns.
The 30% would be preserved then as far as damage to the trees, which is in the UDO. Correct. It would be. I mean, I understand it's not necessarily the ultimate ideal thing to have, but it's permissible.
Yes.
I understand. I have a tree in my yard that had grading issues under the drip line, and it took 20 years, but a 115-year-old white oak was taken down about 7 years ago because of that. It took a long time to die. You know, trees on your property are only going to be to your advantage. And you're wanting to preserve those trees is going to add to your enjoyment of the land you have there. And destroying them is not going to help you. So anything that can be done should be.
Like I can tell you, I walked the tree line with the city staff when we did the delineation of the mature woodland. So I learned a lot on how these guys can identify the diameter of the tree and the quality of the tree in the middle of winter with no leaves on it. So that gave me a greater appreciation, too, having been out there.
Alderwoman Mayer.
I do have a question. On the site plan, it doesn't show any future development, phase two of the church and that kind of thing. So I guess my question is, you know, I mean, we kind of have an issue with the trees and the parking lot now. And I guess I would encourage being able to move the parking lot also, just because we don't know what the future looks like for the site. So preserving that now, and then we can look at later.
Commissioner Fowler.
I was here when we approved, you know, the builders for Christ coming to work on the building. But now, if I understand, I do construction projects for the sewage district. We usually have a construction schedule. And I would assume, and I do not want to interfere because that is a big deal, getting organizing volunteer labor to do the work. But if I follow a normal project schedule for construction of a building and then the following parking lot, I would believe the building, which is what the Builders for Christ, I don't believe they're pavers or concrete guys that are going to be laying your parking lot. So they won't be working on that part. And if I follow the construction schedule that would be normally followed, building will go up first. And I don't think the building is one of the things I'm concerned about. It's the parking lot. So when they come, they start on the building, they can work on the building if I'm correct in your construction schedule. Then when you're putting in the parking lot, that's where I have the concerns and how the drainage and the grading is going to be done. So I'm assuming that that's not going to interfere with your schedule to build the building unless I'm not catching something here that I missed. But then we could, if we needed to, we could alter that parking lot without interfering with the Builders for Christ coming to get your building and the church built. We could then talk about how we can maybe make some changes to the grading plan to protect that tree line. I'd want those assurances, though, from both the church and from staff that can be done, and that it can be done in a way that we can come to some consensus that is agreeable to both parties. If that's agreeable, I can support this moving forward, but if that's not, I cannot support it going forward. So I don't think, I'm trying not to be unreasonable. I hope what I said on the construction schedule is correct.
That is correct.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. I'm sorry, Commissioner Haley.
First, let me say, I fully understand your problem and your concerns and the delays and the hardships you've been through, and would like to do anything I can to keep moving on your timeline, and I think that's doable. But I guess let me reiterate something that probably a lot of people in this room were familiar with, the book of Revelations. It says, hurt not the earth, neither the trees nor the ocean. We have an opportunity to, by simple modifications that I can think can be done working with staff, reconfigure the parking lot to make these things go away. I appreciate the support here on the commission, but there's some, maybe I didn't make myself clear. The issue is not so much where the trees are. They are on both sides of the line. Putting orange safety fence at the drip line will preclude you from doing the grading plan as it's designed. These plans have machinery moving within feet of the trunks of a tree. So we can't just say that, well, we'll protect the drip lines and that will work. A 3-foot cut on a tree that's been growing there for 150 years is going to spell its demise. It's doable. I'd like to think that we can find a way that you can work with staff, address the concerns, reconfigure that last bay of parking, just start the island, turn sooner, get it out into this space, keep you on track, come up with a solution that's going to work. But I'm going to say it again. I can't see any way that this grading plan can be implemented and not demolish, destroy just about every tree on both sides of that line. It's the nature of going in there. If we're all in agreement that we can stay away, then great, but it will require changing the plan. So that's the only thing I want to go forward here. Everybody to understand is, if we all work on it, there is a way to do this, but it doesn't come by cheating in a matter of inches. Those branches reach out across the property line, from the property line, 30, 40, some of them 50 feet. You can't be grading within 2 feet of those trees. So if we care about them, I think we can make it work. It's probably a couple of hours of drafting time for an engineer to modify that. We've got CAD these days. It can be done. I'm good with that. I just think that we need to, avoidance is going to be the solution there, and not any minutia or rules that are written about performance. Bulldozers go where they want once they've been mobilized. So that would be my thoughts.
Commissioner Fowler.
Sorry, one more. As a former Wild West bulldozer driver in a previous life as a construction crew site, the orange fencing is definitely necessary. As many times as I've told contractors who even had penalties assessed to them because we were working on county property and we did not put up the orange fencing, and you can see the bulldozer tracks right up next to the tree because they do go wherever the hell they want to go. They're driving the damn bulldozer, they can go. It's huge. So the orange fencing, if they do run over the orange fencing, they do tend to notice that they've run over the orange fencing, so they tend to back up because sometimes it gets caught in their tracks and causes them a real problem. So I think that is really critical. If we can agree on where that drip line is, where that orange fencing can go, it's something that Kevin and I can help you with. We've done it before. I'd be willing to take some time, take some of my own time to come and help you with that if it's needed. So there.
It sounds to me like we have an agreement that we really want this project to move forward, but we need to correct the parking lot issue. The tree line issue. I look through a recommendation from staff on a proper motion that's enforceable and meets both of our needs.
And I would think it's essentially as Commissioner Marl and Fowler said, at a minimum it's the drip line, orange fence, no activities beyond that point. In those particular instances, where the tree line is really ragged and there'll be a good healthy branch sticking a little bit further out, we're going to try to save that too. There are a couple holes within that tree line that don't meet the criteria where there are not oaks. I don't know how much that'll help, but there'll probably be a little bit of wiggle room in a couple of spots, and then we'll work with those. And if we can't come to a mutual agreement, then we'll come back to the Plan Commission.
How does this relate to the design of the parking lot and the site plan?
There's a chance that they may have to remove or move some of that stuff away from that property line.
And that would cause what action by the part of the applicant and the commission?
Changes of that extent are within the minor site plan changes that staff can administratively approve. So if we could agree on those changes, they wouldn't have to come back to the Plan Commission. It would be up to the applicant to see if they're comfortable losing that number of parking spaces, whatever it is. And potentially the stormwater management pond have to be pulled back a little bit as well.
Alderwoman, the mayor, you had your hand up.
No, I don't.
Commissioner Tennis.
While we have the mirror, the future addition that is noted on the old site plan, is that out of the plans now?
It would still be
potential.
Potential, correct.
But it's not.
It's a holding, basically. Yeah. Size and scope of that project, we don't know yet. We're hoping that our phase one lasts us a decade. And our plan initially included a ministry to families with special needs and such with the playground. We're looking at now, we have a blank canvas, and we're going to try and figure out what other need we can help meet in the community, look to partner. So, whatever phase two, it looks like we know we have some room out there, and we know we'll be limited size and scope by the tightness of the site. So we knew that getting into this site, and we'll just look to see how we can use it to benefit the community going forward.
The reason I ask is because, on your old site plan, you had a considerable possibility of expansion of parking into that area back here between the wetlands, and that would still be in play then.
Possibly,
because the moving of this parking here may end up going into that area to get it away from those trees. Okay. Then just for record purposes, the soccer field is out now. I mean, there's some plans show it, some plans don't. The landscaping plan still showed it. That's neither here nor there right now?
Yeah, it's not probably an immediate thing we would do. We would want to use that space, green space, somehow to benefit the community. We'd probably keep it green space for a time and maybe run around out there with the kids. might become a soccer field just in a informal way with some goals out there. And if there's other ways we could use it, to help with the needs of the community, we'd look to that too.
Okay. And then just for the record purposes, the lot line that's been referred to as the south line is really the west line of the property. It's a direct west line.
Again, my wish for you, Pastor, is that you need to come back in 5 years if church grows, God willing, and the tree line doesn't shrink. By the way, and if you have to move the parking, that's for the people who come late to service. Is there a motion to approve a resolution to amend the site plan for the property located at 11120 West Loomis Road for the development of the Victory of the Lamb Church, subject to protection of the tree line at the drip line with any modifications subject to staff review and approval?
I'll make that motion.
Second. Alderwoman Mayer.
I just want to confirm the water coming down, that's only halfway. Are we doing a CSM? Is that part of this? Or is that a condition?
That would be another condition. And we can add it as a separate motion if you'd like.
Is that something that you're looking at doing?
From the get-go, when we were looking at combining Kayla's playground with 40 acres of beautiful conservancy land next door, we looked at that as being an asset for the whole community. As it stands, without some sort of arrangement, that parcel would essentially be inaccessible to the city except from 116th Street, because there can be no parking built on it. So, you know, we would like to somehow still make that 40 acres of land accessible, and if that little triangle wedge down there is not really all that usable to us because of the wetlands that crosses the road there, that if, you know, we had talked about this, and this has all been conversations in the last couple weeks, but the plan with Kayla's Playground on our site was not to extend the water the length of the site. That was agreeable. So we've been, you know, looking at ways that we can keep our costs down, and, you know, even so that we can continue to move forward with our project. And it seemed like a win-win, where if we were to donate to the city that southern parcel, that gives the city access to the 40 acres of land, including the butterfly-shaped pond. And if even with that donation, that somehow unlocks impact fees in some way to help, you know, develop that little part so that parking or some sort of park or some sort of something, some amenity for the city connected with the 40 acres of MMSD land being donated, we would definitely be agreeable to that and having that conversation as we go forward.
Commissioner Fowler.
Just one comment, if I could add to the motion, that at a minimum the drip line be protected by the erosion control fencing, or a better recommendation would be orange construction fencing, but I would accept the erosion control fencing as a minimum if they're unwilling to go with the orange construction fencing, but that would be preferred.
Who was the maker of the motion? Commissioner?
The orange fencing would be a great idea.
Okay. We'll just stick with that then.
That was certainly the intent as
okay.
I read the motion.
Then I would like to add that orange construction fencing be used to protect that drip line.
And the second was
I was the second.
So I'm agreeable
to my own.
So okay. Commissioner Haley.
And just for clarification for my sake, orange fencing, great, but we're all in agreement that we're gonna revisit the site plan and physically move the parking away from it.
Correct.
Based upon that, okay, just so we're all on the same page here, because there will be a lot of finger pointing on down the line. Great. One other comment.
Let me fix that. Mr. Rogers, would you say into the microphone, yes, would you agree to that?
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks.
As to the water main, I understand the fiscal issues. Again, getting back to what we talked about earlier, the best interests of the city and future development. Our comprehensive plan, our long-range plan, calls for further development down Loomis Road. It's going to need water. That's the reason former city attorney beat it into me for years. You finish everything up to the property line, so when the next guy comes, it's ready to go. Instead of fighting a battle, it isn't about this piece of land that the Green Seams program owns. It's the developable parcels to the south that will need the water, and that's an essential part of the city of Franklin's long-range plans for the development of this community. We're supposed to be developing out the Loomis Road corridor, and it seems silly at this point to not put the water main there. Now, if there's a way to have the city help with the costs or whatever, but now is the time. You got the machinery out there, economy is the scale, you extend it to the property line. It just seems logical to me.
Mr. City Attorney.
Just wondering whether or not Commissioner Haley meant former city engineer as opposed to former.
I'm sorry. Former city engineer.
I don't want to be accused of misbeating.
Mr. Van.
From my point of view, there's two ways to solve this water problem. One is to require the applicant to extend to the property line. Second one is for the applicant to enter a negotiation with the city for the city to acquire some portion of that property. There is advantages, as Pastor Ben outlined, that could give us potential parking to give us access to the butterfly property as a natural area. So I certainly would look for the commission's recommendation on either one of those. But we do have a motion on the floor that does not include that particular item. So let's conclude.
Just have a follow-up question on the water main.
Sure.
Is the placement of the water main, would that be within the highway right-of-way, or would it be on the physical property owned by the church?
Mr. City Engineer.
I'm pretty sure it's within the, actually it is. It's within the right-of-way.
So then it's a non-issue in terms of installing it in the future. I mean, when it happens. Sure. My concern would have been, had it been on private property, that there was an easement provided for that logical extension in the future. So I'm missing a little bit about the piece of land that the city may need.
And if I could clarify, when I wrote our engineering department staff report, I didn't care either way. I gave them the options. So if they decide to extend all the way to property line, that's fine. If they want to stop it short, and because I think it would be beneficial, even though it's all wetland, you know, maybe we could mitigate something on the MMSD property so that maybe we could use it for an access item. It's up in the air for the future.
That's
just. I'm sorry, dumb technical
Commissioner
question. But there will be an access manhole where they make the cut when they put their water feed to their church. There'll be an access manhole so that we could extend if we ever had to make a connection to the water utility at the.
I believe there's a hydrant on the would be the north side of the driveway, and then there's a blow off valve on the other side. So we'd have to dig down anyway to expose it to extend the water.
So. Right. So there will be an access. You'll put them. I'm assuming you'll put. Would we want to do that so that we, if we wanted to extend the utility line?
And on like a sewer, you won't have a manhole, but yeah, we'll have to dig down.
I'm all with sewers. I don't know how to do water lines. I thought you'd put down a manhole. Never mind then.
I believe it's a blow off valve. Yes.
I didn't know what I was talking about again.
All right, there's a motion on the floor that's been seconded that deals with the site plan amendment that includes a consideration to protect the tree line with construction fencing. We did not address the water issue.
I'm going to address the water issue.
Let's do this one and then that one.
Okay.
There's something about
I
that.
I thought it was going to be included in the motion.
There's something about that chair. So let's continue
I
with this particular. Let's continue with this motion. Any further discussion of this particular motion in anticipation of the next? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to approve the site plan amendment subject to the conditions signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. On the second item, Alderwoman Mayer. I got you with that.
That was a good one. I would like to make a motion that the water go only halfway down the property while we're making negotiations for a CSM to be transferred to the city, if that's possible.
Is your motion contingent on a successful transfer to the city or just to allow for discussion?
Contingent upon.
So if we don't come to an agreement, then it's got to go to the full property?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
Second that.
Discussion of that motion? Are we clear? Pastor Ben.
Might I add, or just request that wording be added to that, that we would be allowed to cap it off halfway until such time as future development down Loomis Road requires it.
Are you suggesting then that you would extend it to your property line and then allow the future development to go farther than that?
Yes. I mean, our intent would be to negotiate with the city for a CSM. For some reason that didn't happen, didn't work out, that we wouldn't be required to immediately put in the extension.
I agree with that.
Okay, so to restate the motion is to require the applicant to extend water to the extent shown on current plans, which is essentially to the driveway, and then enter into negotiations for possible acquisition of lands to the southwest. And that the applicant, should negotiations not be successful, the applicant would, at their expense, extend the water to the property line at some point in the future. Is that your motion?
Yes.
Kind of?
Yes.
You okay, Joel?
Yes.
Clint? City Attorney? Commissioner Haley, then Commissioner Thomas.
As a second, I would like to not leave it at some point in the future, but when a need further down the line arises.
It's a better word.
That was really my point to it. If it was a time uncertain to extend it, what would be the trigger? What would be the trigger that would extend it?
The trigger is somebody needs to develop farther south. So I think we're all good. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Pastor Ben. You go forth and build. Thank you, Mr. Rogers. All right. Item D3, Summit Credit Union, amendment to a special use to extend time for obtaining occupancy permit. The applicant is Summit Credit Union for the property of Chops at Wyndham Village, located at 7750 South Lovers Lane Road. Pretty routine matter. Mr. Deedle.
Staff is recommending approval of the time extension. The applicant's asking for another 7 months to December 6th. They haven't started construction or anything on the building. They hope to do so before the end of next month. We see no reason why this would be a good time extension. So we're recommending approval.
Mr. City Attorney.
Only that this is formatted as a special use resolution amendment. Special use resolution amendments in general require a public hearing, just like the original. However, I'm going to suggest a simple addition of, in a whereas clause, a reference to section 50-9.0103 of the Unified Development Ordinance, which is the one-year time limit and contemplates the expiration after 1 year of the special use permit based upon whatever condition the Plan Commission inserted there, assuming without further action by the Plan Commission or the Common Council. So the converse of that is, if there is a Plan Commission, it contemplates potential action by the Plan Commission or Common Council to extend the deadline. So just to add.
So Mr. City Attorney will fashion a motion. Please.
Motion to recommend approval of a resolution to amend resolution number 2014-6979, a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a credit union use upon property located at 7750 South Lovers Lane Road to extend the time for obtaining of the issuance of an occupancy permit, which resolution is to include a reference to section 15-9.0103 of Unified Development Ordinance state the authority for a time extension amendment, which does not require public hearing.
Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. There is an amended agenda, at which point we now turn to item 5, and I don't have my adjusted agenda. Thank you, Mr. City Attorney. Item D5, Matt Talbot Community-Based Residential Facility Site Plan Application by Matt Talbot Recovery Services, Inc. for the construction of a 5 to 8 bedroom state-licensed community-based residential facility consisting of a 3,690-square-foot building, 16 parking spaces, a basketball court for a property zoned R3 suburban single-family residence district, C1 conservancy district, located at 9132 South 92nd Street. This relates to the Common Council action of last Tuesday, rescinding its conditional approval of an applicant's request for public water main extension, and directing the staff to provide further information upon that water extension, and the council's direction to us as the Plan Commission to consider the rescission of its March 19, 2015 conditional approval of a site plan, which included water extension agreement conditions, which is no longer valid or viable following the council action for the project, and to later receive further information regarding the water extension and information including but not limited to Department of Natural Resource, Natural Resource Features Review of the property, and the navigability determination and wetland delineation confirmation. Mr. City Attorney.
Mr. Mayor, that is, I'm understanding what you read is from the Plan Commission subject matter on the agenda. Subsequent to the site plan review and approval by the Plan Commission on March 19th, the subject matter of that particular project was before the Common Council on April 7th and April 21st, and information and questions arose, and the council expressed concerns with regard to a pending review of the natural waterway review by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, also the review of the wetland delineation for compliance with by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. In addition, there were questions raised about potential alternate public water supply routes and cost comparisons of any of those alternatives. And finally, there were questions raised about the planned reconstruction of State Trunk Highway 100 as it might impact this property. So the summary after relatively lengthy portions of those two meetings were spent hearing those questions raised and also asking the same questions and reviewing with staff. The Common Council did act upon a motion to rescind its original approval dating back to March 3 of the extension of water for this particular property. And part of that action directed staff to provide the subject matter information I just referenced and to also return that to the Board of Water Commissioners, which originally made a recommendation upon the water extension, and also noted that the matter should be brought back before the Plan Commission for consideration of the subject matter. The special or the site plan approval resolution, which was before the Plan Commission when it acted upon it on March 19th, contained a condition providing for the general terms of an agreement and requiring the execution of an agreement as a condition of the site plan approval, and that all followed specifically from the earlier Common Council approval and authorization to extend water in that fact. So in the practical world at this point in time with that council action, rescinding, which means repeal, same as repeal, its prior action, condition number 5 on the prior Plan Commission, under the prior Plan Commission approval, cannot be fulfilled. So as a condition of the resolution of the site plan, that the development could not occur without fulfillment of all the conditions. So as a practical matter, if the Plan Commission took no action following this discussion, and it's any questions or comments the Plan Commissioners may have, as a practical matter, would have the same result because the project does not move forward under the site plan approval. So that's one option for the Plan Commission. Another option could be a motion to acknowledge receipt of and the Commission's consideration of the Common Council direction upon this matter. To note that the site plan resolution required condition of approval, which was condition number 5, cannot be met due to the Council action rescinding its approval of the proposed water extension. And to note that the Plan Commission awaits the receipt of the public water supply distribution information, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources site property natural resource features information and potential Highway 100 reconstruction impacts regarding the site property information to be provided by staff as directed by the Common Council. That sums up that the Plan Commission is aware of the Council action and as well as the Council direction and its understanding that the site plan as currently exists, site plan resolution has a condition which can't be fulfilled absent some further action. And finally, if the Plan Commission so desires, as the Common Council has already acted upon this to rescind, theoretically there's a potential motion to rescind the site plan approval from March 19th as the site plan resolution condition of approval number 5 cannot be met without city approval of the public water supply extension.
So essentially there's two motions. The first motion would be the lengthy one, which acknowledges our acceptance with the issues forwarded to us from the Common Council. it'd be nice to have, but not particularly necessary. The second one is the actual rescission of the site plan amendment. So I would entertain a motion. Mr. City Attorney.
With regard to procedural aspects, and the council was advised accordingly, a motion to rescind, even if adopted, can be challenged by way of someone obtaining vested rights. In other words, from the original action, someone did something of value that cannot be undone. And as I reported to the council on Tuesday, I have no information of as to whether or not anything like that has occurred.
Commissioner Fowler.
Just a quick question. If I understood the applicants in their discussion, they had their lawyer with them. This is something that the state mandates on municipalities, and this will, I mean, the building is going to go in. This is just delay of the building, and we're delaying the applicant. Are we going to be, my understanding was the state mandates this, unless we have a solid reason to prevent it. Is that correct or not correct?
Mr. City Attorney.
Well, it's a permitted use. The issues raised by the Common Council are at the questions asked by the Common Council go to questions as to further detail being required on that. It's a permitted use. The question of the water extension, further information might lead to a different result. I don't know. You can get into all these hypotheticals. What if whatever information reviewed by staff was incorrect to some extent, and the property is due to hydric soils or wetlands or whatever, simply not developable. Theoretically, hypothetically, that could occur. So, in its simplest form, community-based residential facilities licensed by the state, which are 8 or fewer beds, are entitled to locate in any residential zone. They are permitted uses in all of the unified development ordinance.
Well, if I could follow up, Mayor, my concern would be they might just look for another location in Franklin that might be even less palatable. I don't know. Just my concern.
Mr. City Engineer.
It just occurred to me that two meetings ago at council, the motion said something to the effect, and I'll paraphrase, the staff shall do nothing to further the development of this project. I'm obviously a staff member. Should I recuse myself from this?
Mr. When you're ready, I'll call it. Remembering that we're talking about a rescission.
There were two motions. The motion that the city engineer is referring to was made at the, and adopted at the April 7th meeting. And just by recollection, the motion was in part to direct staff to contact the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and the Army Corps of Engineers to obtain the review of the natural waterway and wetland conditions on the site primarily, and to direct staff to take no further action to propel or which propels this project pending receipt of that information. So the subject matter here is simply the second motion, which was Tuesday night, 2 weeks later, was to specifically direct staff to do certain things, including providing the information I just listed. So the general rules of construction are specific controls, the generals, and it's after the fact, so the council direction for Tuesday night is what's applicable here. So no, I don't see a conflict as being staff as well as the planning commission member.
Commissioner Thins.
The first motion about just receiving the information and essence, would be a motion of tabling the issue and accepting the council's decision to rescind their water extension, and at the same time leave the site plan approval in effect, but no consequence until such time as the additional information regarding the wetland delineations and the DOT property ownership at the corner comes back. If that has no effect on the site plan approval, then the site plan approval then becomes valid again. Or the second motion would require that the site plan would be reviewed again and action have to be taken on it again after that information comes back.
Here was my thought on it. The lengthier resolution puts a record on the deliberations of the plan commission and the factual direction from the common council. The condition requiring the agreement for the extension of water is specific in some part as to what that approval was by the common council, which has now been rescinded. So in effect, I would submit that condition becomes a linchpin because the site plan approval cannot be completed without completion of that condition. So the common council would have to, in the future, undo the rescission by a separate action or take up and adopt some other motion, such as some other route for water or whatever, which would still make that condition inconsistent. So it would ultimately, as a practical matter, have to come back here. So that's my thought on that one.
Mr. Fogg.
What are the long-term impacts on this property if we go through these gyrations to do this? Does that property then become, do we have to go back to the council to get it developed again, or is it going to permanently leave it as undevelopable?
Staff can report on what the status is with regard to the DNR review, because
we've requested.
I don't think you're talking about 5 years down the road to get the information.
Yep.
I know.
We're probably going to get the information in a week or so.
And that would?
That's just determination if that one drainage way is navigable, and that would put on a 75-foot buffer. The applicants previously told me that if that was the case, they'd only have to move the building a few feet to stay out of it. And if the wetlands were significantly larger than what they've mapped, that could make a majority of this parcel undevelopable, and they'd have to go back to the drawing board and draw up some new plans.
In perpetuity undevelopable, or?
Depending on the extent of the wetland changes. So again, if very little developable land would be left because the wetlands are so much bigger, it could be in perpetuity. Based on the soils information and the previous mapping, it's unlikely. The previous mapping done by other parties when there were other owners is fairly close to this newest mapping, which is also similar to the Wisconsin DNR's older than both of those mapping, would show that there's a significant amount of developable land still.
Alderman Mayer.
I do have one question. The DNR has been updated in writing to do the whole entire site plan.
And actually the applicant asked the DNR to do it all.
Okay.
So we did and the applicant did.
Okay.
So Commissioner Fowler, or Haley.
I guess first a comment and then a question. The navigability issue, if I'm not mistaken, not only determines whether it's navigable or not, but if it's deemed navigable, that puts it under the jurisdiction of the Army Corps of Engineers rather than the Wisconsin DNR. So there's a significant difference in how they allow wetlands to be impacted or not be impacted.
It would be both, Kevin. It would be under both their jurisdictions.
You know, my understanding is the DNR would do a water quality certification on it, but the Corps, if they take jurisdiction, would issue any permits related to the wetlands, and they may not. It's federal law. So I just wanted that out there. There's more to it than just deciding, will it float a saw log? It ultimately determines who will make the decision about any potential wetland impacts that would occur on the site, so everybody understands that. I guess one comment and one question. I share the same comments I expressed on the previous item about the water main. The orderly development of the city would seem to suggest that we should be having a water main ready for future developments as it goes in. We could talk about that. It sounds like it's already been beat to death. I still have those concerns. And one that really sticks in my mind that I wish I had the answer to, and maybe staff can, I have had reason in my professional life for the last several years to work with the Department of Transportation on the redesign for Highway 100. I have every reason to believe that their plans indicate taking 92nd Street at its northern terminus, the point, and turning it at 90 degrees so that it intersects Highway 190, which is standard engineering desire right now. And I guess the question is, has anybody talked to DOT about this specifically? Because it looks to me like their road alignment is right where this building wants to be.
City engineer.
Yes, the council on Tuesday night, actually very late Tuesday night, asked us to look into that. So Wednesday I made a phone call to DOT. The person I needed to talk to was not in. This morning, Thursday, I talked to that person, and that person is not the project manager. So I was not able to talk to the project manager for this project. However, I did see a copy of a 1997 plan that does reflect what was shown to me the other night, and I apologize because what was shown to me, it was the first time I'd seen that. But they shows 92nd Street being a cul-de-sac in this area. Some sort of cul-de-sac in this area, and then down here, I don't remember exactly where it does made a 90 degree right there. Having said that, there's some question about this parcel here on the end, the taking of that. I understand it was transferred not too long ago, so before I give you a definite answer, I was hoping to talk to the project manager and find out the status of that. I did find out that St. Martin's Road, or Highway 100, the project, is in the early 20s is when it's scheduled, and the lady I talked to said it would be at least 4 or 5 years before she thought that they would start talking to property owners for property acquisition. If that was the only location to stick a road through, they would talk about relocation, or if it's a significant improvement, they might step in now, but like I said, I'd like to talk to project manager before I give a definite answer on the results of that conversation.
Commissioner Haley, go ahead.
I think that'd be very helpful for us now and certainly for the council moving forward. I mean, I'm looking at a 2012 plan that I got from DOT when I was working with them. It clearly shows the street. Now, again, at this scale, I can't tell the exact alignment, but the placement of this building may preclude that street being reconfigured as is proposed, which I think we all know that's done for public safety reasons, reduce accidents and such. So I don't know when the battle comes in and who wins, how much is right of way, if they would need any of this land. But I think it's an important question to have answered before we go ahead and say, tear the site apart and put a building on it. So I would encourage you to continue the pursuits and get a definitive answer. I guess absent that, it would be great to know here for a decision tonight, but it doesn't sound like we will, so I guess I'm going to have to implore the council to be diligent in taking final actions on any of this development and make sure that we're not creating a firestorm with the Department of Transportation. It's their street, and they usually prevail.
The city attorney offered two motions. The first one is acknowledgement of the issue from the common council and telling them that we acknowledge it. Is there a motion to that effect? That was the long one. You want to read it again? And you're certainly at will to say yes or no. So.
Motion to acknowledge receipt of and the commission's consideration of the common council direction upon this matter, to note that the site plan resolution of approval granted by the Plan Commission had a required condition of approval number 5, which cannot be met due to the council action rescinding its approval of the proposed water extension, and to note that the Plan Commission awaits the receipt of the public water supply distribution information that Wisconsin Department of Natural Resource site property natural resources features information and potential Highway 100 reconstruction impacts regarding the site property information to be provided by staff as directed by the Common Council.
Wish to make that motion?
So moved.
Is there a second? Is there a second? Seeing no second, the motion dies due to lack of a second. The second motion that the city attorney offers is?
A motion to rescind the site plan approval granted by the Plan Commission on March 19, 2015, as the approval contained a condition, number 5, which cannot be met without city approval of the public water supply extension, as well as current new information received by the commission with regard to the plan, Wisconsin Department of Transportation, Highway 100 reconstruction impacts regarding the site property.
Motion to that regard?
Motion.
Support?
Second.
City attorney, this requires a...
Under Robert's Rules Parliamentary Procedure, it requires a majority of the membership, but that's of no difference for Plan Commission because all Plan Commission approvals require a majority of full membership, which is 4 votes.
Mr. City Engineer.
And I'd like for the city attorney to clarify the part that is in the city ordinance says that the Board of Water Commissioners has the sole discretion to talk about the extension and where the water main shall and shall not be. And just for the record, at their meeting, they recommended to the council to make that decision a favorable recommendation, and that is going back to the Board of Water Commissioners at the next meeting, correct?
That's correct, and the Board of Water Commissioners did refer the matter to the Common Council for the decision-making process.
Any discussion on motion? Alderman Mayor.
Want to know what the difference is between the two motions that you give. One is just an information gathering.
Mr. City Attorney.
Yes, it states for the record that the Plan Commission understands that all the conditions of its prior approval cannot be met as a result of the current Common Council or recent Common Council action. The second proposed motion is an actual motion to rescind the prior site plan approval in its entirety by the Plan Commission.
And the city attorney's opinion on which is more appropriate is what?
There are multiple issues in the entirety of this matter. I did not make a recommendation before the Common Council, specifically did not recommend. That's already occurred. There are alternate results from nearly every potential decision procedurally in this matter. The fact of the matter is that the Common Council has already acted, and so the approval condition cannot be met. So on the one hand, some would say a motion to rescind by the Plan Commission under those circumstances is of no necessary three-dimensional practical impact. I'm sure there are legal arguments on all sides of the coin. With regard to a motion to rescind, again, the other side is, well, if it's not doable, why should it remain of record? It would have to be amended anyway. So in addition to the Common Council action and these questions raised this evening by the Plan Commission with reference to actual recent state Department of Transportation maps and the like, that answer would be that it's reasonable to rescind that action because it's not viable right now. So why not procedurally remove that from the record until further final questions are answered and decisions are made?
The last thing the city attorney mentioned was my thoughts on making the motion was that there are several outstanding issues that create considerable question as to the validity of the approved site plan to start with. And to leave it hanging out there just doesn't seem to make sense to me. It needs to be, if eventually the information comes back and it validates the site plan as originally approved, it can be approved again. If not, there will have to be changes to it anyhow.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to rescind, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Just a comment to the audience. I appreciate you, the respect you've offered us tonight. Thank you very much. So that issue's over. Thank you very much. We'll move back to item D4, Department of City Development Annual Report, and we'll take a second here. While you sure you guys don't want to sit and listen to this? Come on.
It's about your city.
Let's take a 2-minute recess. Yeah, if you're not going to listen, get the heck out of here. That was a joke, man. Back on the record with item D4.
What scenarios do they know any of them?
Mr. City Planner.
Thank you. The annual report is something that we put together once every year, summarizing. It's getting longer every year. Summarizing what the department has done over the previous year. No action is required in this item. It's just for your information. I will also provide a copy of this to the council. The only thing I would mention is, generally speaking, it's all the little stuff that have been increasing this last year. Subdivision plats are big projects that has not increased. Rezonings tend to be big. Those have not increased. It's the little things, temporary uses, review of natural resource protection plans. Minor site plans, those kinds of things have increased. But the only other thing of note, of course, is we continue to provide a lot of assistance to a number of boards and commissions, and that has been pretty consistent the last couple of years as well. Quarry monitoring, complete streets, committees like that. And then we've, the last year or two, we've just added a brief note at the very end about things we think are coming down the pike. Those were just guesses. No decision for sure yet, for instance, on updating the UDO. That was an item that had been on a previous Plan Commission agenda. It's still to be discussed by the Common Council at some future Committee of the Whole meeting. They did express some interest in learning more about the SIC codes. There may be some interest or maybe some more interest in doing amendments of the UDO for particular things, maybe less interest to do the whole thing, but there wasn't enough discussion to know that for sure.
Is there anything in your report that you'd like to particularly point out to the Planning Commission that may help you do your job more effectively, efficiently, or you need some changes? Sorry to pop this on you, but this is the way I am.
Probably the UDO update. It's a two-edged sword or an issue that has lots of pluses and minuses. Comprehensively updating that UDO would give us the opportunity to become more up to date on addressing land uses and permitted and special uses within those land uses. It would allow us to become more administratively efficient by aligning things that reflect what the decisions have been by the Planning Commission and Council over the last couple decades. It would also allow us to remove inconsistencies and conflicts that are in the current UDO. There is no doubt in our mind, not just mine, but all planning staff, that fixing that UDO, comprehensively updating it, would give us the opportunity to make it so much better. But it would be a very large undertaking. If development picks up to any significant extent above and beyond what we have now, I'm not sure staff could do it. There's multiple, we could spread it out for a number of years, we could get consultant assistance, those would be options. So it's not something that I'm saying can't be done. Although from a challenge standpoint, I would like our department to tackle this. It would be an awesome challenge. We'd learn so much from it and we'd be so much more knowledgeable about the final product. So that's the biggest thing I would say.
So, just to paraphrase that, you want us to update the UDO, but you want to let us know that it's going to be a big job.
Yes.
Got it. Commissioner Fowler.
Yeah, Joel, I got two questions. One, when you look at the number of, I keep getting beat up on this all the time when I'm talking to my neighbors. They say, Oak Creek's going gangbusters. Everybody's going gangbusters. They think Franklin's just stuck in the mud, not going anywhere. So, my question to you to dispel that myth is, if you compare the number of building permits that we do to Oak Creek and some of the surrounding communities, are we lagging way behind or in the middle of the pack, or is that just something you can't come off with on top of your head?
No, the only analysis I've ever done, and it's a couple years old now, was just the types of applications that we have and the fees. That's all I've done, and we did a comprehensive review of all the adjacent communities 3 or 4 years ago. I've never actually done a review or analysis of the number of building permits, number of housing starts, anything like that. Just talking to some of them, I think that in some instances, some of their measures are more than ours. In others, they're not. So for instance, I think the small things that we do, minor site plans, temporary uses, those are the same or more than our neighbors. But I think that in terms of larger projects, some of our neighbors are having more of those than we are.
If I could follow up with the second question, Joel, having been on the commission now for a number of years, the UDO has been cited by, again, anecdotal information that we get from folks who've talked to developers. Do you feel that the changes or the updating of that UDO, whichever phrase fits, would benefit us in those types of large developments or other developments that we might see coming down the pike? Is something we should do if we see the economy turning around as we think it's going to kind of maybe benefit our getting a share of that kind of development?
Potentially, no doubt in my mind. The only reason I have a caveat on there is for something this large, we'd be looking for a consensus, not only among the Plan Commission, but a consensus among the council and a consensus from the residents. That could be difficult to achieve, and when you go that route, who knows what the final result's going to be. There could be concerns. I just came from the National Planning Conference. One of the common themes that I've heard from many of those sessions is more and more communities are doing more and more public participation earlier and earlier in the process. And a great majority of those planners are claiming that that is a good thing. However, most of them are also saying it comes with a cost. It comes at a cost, more controversy for more projects. So just that kind of concept would be something that we'd be tackling in an update of the UDO. We could be requiring, for instance, I'm just examples, requiring neighborhood meetings, where right now it's only a suggestion. That's an added step to the development review process. Would be a little bit less business friendly. We could also set higher standards for certain things. We might want to bump up our architectural design standards. That would add more costs to a development. On the other hand, the neighbors could become more concerned about mixed uses and not want to go that route, even though that is one of the development opportunities that is of interest to a lot of developers out there, and we could be potentially closing doors like that through this UDO update. And then, again, after that UDO is updated, it's not done. Then we fix the map, because some of those changes could affect the land use map, or the zoning map, excuse me. So that would be another instance where the rubber hits the road. So no doubt in our minds that we would be fixing some of those concerns people have raised in the past, but potentially we could be creating others in the effort to reach consensus.
If I could just follow up, Mayor, but yeah, with great opportunity is always great risk.
Yes.
But having survived the master plan, I think I have faith in the residents that they eventually will, with the proper amount of information that they're provided, that they can come to a decision that works best for the community and for those neighborhoods and for the residents themselves. I think that can be achieved.
Yep.
It'd be difficult, but I think it can be achieved.
And I think it will be easier to achieve consensus amongst ourselves, meaning citizens, plan commission, and council. It'll be harder, I think, to reach a consensus with developers as well. Their priorities are going to be different. So that could be more difficult. But in terms of things that affect the citizens and us, fences, setbacks, those would be more easily achievable. But development standards for the larger projects would be more difficult. Lot coverage, setbacks, natural resource protection standards. They would like to make significant changes to those, I suspect. Probably not as much support or interest from a lot of the citizens. So, again, it's been done. It's a continuing process throughout the entire country. Communities are adopting new ordinances, replacing old ones all the time. But it appears that it's getting a little bit more and more difficult to do these bigger projects. And at these conference sessions, it was all about large developments, TIF districts, and ordinances that they were referring to, more and more public participation earlier in the process, but more controversial. Those were the kinds of topics they were talking about, large plans, ordinances, the bigger things. And this UDO update or replacement would be one of those bigger things. I also want to note that I wouldn't go and say that the current UDO is broken. It's working. We've been able to accomplish so much. It's obviously not broken. But could it be so much better? Yes.
Thanks, Bill.
Commissioner, I'll just address that narrative that Oak Creek is eating our lunch. The facts are somewhat different, but the political narrative is what it is. Back in November...
Looking for ammo.
Well, Milwaukee Burger Company, Oscars, there's lots more. There's new restaurants up and down 27th Street. The narrative is it's not 76th Street. But for those involved in that effort, we're well aware of the issues that we have on 76th Street relative to access that causes that issue. I can directly address the industrial commercial. There was a comment at the last common council meeting that said, the business park is empty and the buildings are falling down. From Mike Mooney, who is responsible for the business park leasing primarily, Franklin currently has a 4% vacancy rate, industrial commercial. City of Oak Creek is currently at 4.52%. So there's some misunderstanding that there may not be cars parked out in front of buildings, but they are occupied and in use. So the question was, why are you building a new business park when that one's empty? Well, 4% is not empty. It's 96% full. So any other questions for the staff? Seeing none, thank you. Is there a motion to place the report on file?
So moved. Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Move adjournment.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.